welcome back to another episode of Inside SFPS. My name is Cody Donarski, Public Information Officer with Santa Fe Public Schools. And today I am joined by Dr. Neil Weaver, Chief Information and Strategy Officer with Santa Fe Public Schools, and Christy Yonda Wagner, who is the Deputy Superintendent for something, 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 and something. Has something to do with operations. So we'll leave it at that.
Deputy Superintendent of Operations. Good morning.
It's easier than I thought it was. I don't know why I thought it was much more difficult. I have you guys on today. We're going to talk about the upcoming election on November 7th. Both issues. We have the EdTech Note, which deals with the technology, and SB 9, which deals with a lot more of the operations. So to start, can we talk a little bit about ETN? What is ETN? You know, talk about some of the information about ETN.
Absolutely. Good morning. The Education Technology Note is essentially a bond that's funded by property taxes in Santa Fe, and it covers technology within our schools. So our educational system now is based heavily on technology. Our students are using our learning management system, and the majority of the resources that when we were in school were paper, pencils, books are now all, they ride on our technology. So this is an incredibly important part of the daily operation of the teaching and learning process. We're going in front of voters for $55 million over the next 5 years. And that really covers three things. It covers our infrastructure, which is important to, number one, so that students can connect while they're in school. It also keeps our network safe and secure. The second thing that it really covers is equipment. So we're talking about interactive whiteboards, digital document cameras, teacher laptops, student one-to-one devices. Yeah, the Chromebooks and the iPads for our students. And then the last thing that it covers, which is in my opinion, just as important, is the support of all of that. So we have a cadre of digital learning coaches, 16 digital learning coaches who are out in our schools every day working side by side with students, teachers, administrators to help understand how can we better ingrain technology and use technology as a primary resource for our teaching and learning process.
And I think that's been the most important thing when I've been speaking with people over the last couple of weeks about the two issues on the election. With ETN, most people know about the one-to-one devices, and you know we sing its praises because we had one-to-one devices when we went into the pandemic. But it does so much more than that. And if you ask any teacher in the district who is one of the most important people at a school, they'll almost always say the DLC. So can you talk a little bit more about what a DLC does? Because I don't know if the average person in the community really knows about the digital learning coach and their role in the school.
Yeah, Cody, you're absolutely right. The digital learning coach, in my opinion, is one of our core programs around supporting instruction. And I think that's a key also, is that this EdTech Note and technology within schools, we are a primary support for teaching and learning. The digital learning coaches, they are, again, in the schools. Most of them support two schools. In our high schools, a digital learning coach will just support one school, but they help develop lessons. They help work with students and teachers to understand how can we take learning to the next level? How can we build in that collaboration, that creativity, that critical thinking through the use of technology? And as you said, our teachers, I think, are incredibly thankful for the support that the digital learning coaches provide, and that the work that the digital learning coaches have done over the past 10 years and will continue to do, because technology is changing. So that work will continue, and it's not like we can bring in digital learning coaches, get teachers up to a certain level, and then we don't need them anymore. Because technology continues to change, the face of education continues to change as we move more and more digital. Textbooks are nearly a thing of the past. Physical textbooks are nearly a thing of the past. They all live on our machines now, on our student devices. And as that growth continues, the use of the digital learning coaches to support that will absolutely continue to grow.
And I think you mentioned one important thing there is that they've been doing this for the last 10 years. The ETN and the work of the digital learning coaches and, you know, the measure is not anything new. This is something that has been overwhelmingly supported for the last, you know, 10 years. But I know, weren't you one of the first digital learning coaches, or you helped start the program, something like that, correct?
Yes, I was. I was hired with Santa Fe Public Schools nearly 10 years ago and started this program from scratch.
And so with that, I think it's interesting to say, when you first started, what were you doing, and then what are they doing now? And to show that difference of how that has changed over the last 10 years.
Yeah, I think in the very beginning, I hired two digital learning coaches to support all of the teachers in Santa Fe Public Schools. So we were doing a lot of building programs that all of our teachers could use, providing professional development that was nowhere near one-on-one. It was groups, large groups of teachers, schools of teachers at a time. As we grew the program intentionally and thoughtfully, our idea was that we should have digital learning coaches who support specific schools. They develop that relationship with teachers, and they help to build a culture within the school of using technology as a primary support. Another thing that you said made me think of something important that we should share is this has been around for 10 years. And so what we're asking for is a renewal. This is not going to increase taxes. It's a renewal of an existing tax.
Awesome. As we transition, another renewal of a bond that we have is SB9. Can you talk a little bit about SB9, what it gets used for, and kind of the services that the district gets out of SB9?
Sure, Cody. SB9 is a critical funding source for caring for the wellness of our facilities, I think is the easiest way to put it. So we routinely are on the ballot asking our community for support, utilizing tax monies to build, maintain, and care for our facilities. And SB9 explicitly is used for that care, keeping our facilities safe and sound. So really protecting our resources. Generously, our voters have supported many bonds and levies over the years that have built beautiful schools for Santa Fe Public School users and students and community. And we're really proud of our facilities. So we have to have a funding source exclusively used to maintain and care for those facilities and protect our assets. And that's what SB9 does. SB9 is a funding source that brings about $12 million a year into Santa Fe Public Schools exclusively. And then our charter schools, our partners, are also eligible for those funds. And I think that's a really important point. There aren't many children in Santa Fe and school staff members who don't benefit from the SB9 mill levy.
Absolutely. I think that's very important to mention that the charter schools in Santa Fe benefit from both of these as well. This isn't just a Santa Fe Public Schools measure. This is a Santa Fe measure. So with SB9, you know, one of the things that I know it's probably what it gets used for is the custodial contract and making sure that our buildings stay clean. You know, I know I was working on a video that like the HVAC systems, the drinking fountains, the plumbing, you know, a lot of those things that you don't realize need work until it comes up. Can you talk a little bit about kind of what that money, having that money kind of set aside for those emergencies and when we need it, kind of how that benefits the district?
Sure. So SB9 is, you know, broadly allowable for use for bricks and mortar of our facilities, for caring for, attending to, even small projects of. So if you think about our facilities, much like you would think about a home, when you build a home or you purchase a home that's in fairly good repair, the finishes in the home and the systems in the home, like you mentioned, HVAC, which is heating and cooling, the roof of the home, the landscaping of the home, have a much longer life if they're well cared for. So you can think about simple things like what it means to wipe down the walls in your hallway on a regular basis in a high traffic area, how that will extend the life cycle of your paint. So it's the same concept on a much larger scale. We build a school or we renovate a school, or we've had a school that's been around for over 50 years. And it has all these parts and pieces that need to be cared for, cleaned, maintained, and replaced so that the building can serve its intended purpose for as long as possible. So we have in-house staff and contracted staff that takes care of these things, everything from what we would call preventative maintenance to repairs to routine projects to services. So SB9 pays for things like playground equipment, maintaining our playground equipment, making sure that it's safe. We have a contractor who does that. Auditing our playgrounds to make sure that they're up to a safety standard. Putting our equipment on replacement cycles when and where necessary. SB9 pays for the care, maintenance, and even installation of our synthetic turf fields. So those are utilized mostly by our athletics programs, but they're also used by partner programs, nonprofits, some adult users, and some our community members. SB9 pays for landscaping, for taking care of the grounds, for making sure they're clean and, again, safe. Also, you mentioned our custodial contract of the $12 million. A large portion pays for our employee group that cleans our buildings day in and day out. So again, if you think about your kitchen, if you think about your sink, if you think about your bathtub, areas of your home that look better and work better if you keep them clean, it's the same concept. So we're just really investing in the cycle of caring for our very nice facilities and making sure they're safe and ready for students to learn every morning when they come to school.
And I think you answered probably the next question that I had is, what would be some of the projects that the community would probably know or recognize as SB9 projects? But you had mentioned synthetic fields. So the new ball fields, or, you know, I'm not sure which fields got what, but, you know, the fields that we have at our high schools are from SB9, correct?
Some are. So yeah. We have three primary sources of bricks and mortar funding, and they all serve slightly nuanced or different purposes. So the general obligation bond is our big bucket of tax money that builds our facilities. And often big projects like a field project will be a $2 to $4 million endeavor, and we're likely to draw down on our general obligation bond for those. But SB9, the school building tax that's more geared towards maintenance and small projects, might contribute a small portion of money to a project like a field project. We might use SB9 for a parking lot, for a lighting upgrade, for something to save energy or to be more wise with our water usage. So you're going to see smaller scale projects on SB9. I would not be hard pressed to find a field that was built or is maintained with SB9 money. I just can't think of one off the top of my head. We're fortunate enough, again, to be able to sort of mix and match these funding sources and turn large projects or make big projects out of different pots of money if we don't have money explicitly set aside for a field, for example.
Awesome. I want to thank you both for hopping on today and taking a couple minutes to give a little bit of information and background on the EdTech note and the school buildings tax, or SB9. Before we go, is there anything else that you would like to add about ETN or anything that you would like to say to the voters?
You know, I think the most important thing is to thank voters for the past support in Santa Fe Public Schools, not only of EdTech note, but SB9, all of our bond asks of the community. So that's first and foremost most important. And second thing is, we're coming up on an election day, and we're just encouraging people to get out there and vote.
Awesome.
I would just like to add, you know, that this really generous support from our taxpayers keeps our schools moving every day. So I think that to think about a state of the district without SB9 or ETN would really be impossible. It would be impossible to operate on a day-to-day basis. It would be impossible to keep our schools safe and clean and to keep the most current accessibility to technology in front of our kids without these monies. And so we really appreciate the ongoing support. It is the scaffolding we need to keep our schools going every day. We hope if people haven't early voted, they consider doing so this week. We hope that the latest anyone gets out is November 7th when the polls open. You can get all of that information at sfps.info. And so please get out and vote. We appreciate your support.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you both for coming on. Just to reiterate, if you are looking for more information about the elections, if you go to the website, sfps.info, right under the big pictures, you'll see a little button that says ETN and SB9 election. If you head over there, you'll find a bunch of information about both of the measures on the ballot. And make sure you go vote on November 7th.